Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
The Rich Zeoli Show podcast is sponsored by Mike Venaria Jr. with Osperity Private Wealth.
Hi, I'm Mike Venaria Jr., Wealth Management Specialist. Make your retirement dreams a reality by creating your retirement plan today. Call me at 856-252-0107.
It's Friday. It's also D-Day. It is the anniversary, the 81st anniversary of the of Operation Overlord. As you know, every year I devote an hour of the show to talk about D-Day because if you just heard in the news, we get World Pride Weekend in D.C. The world should do a World Pride Weekend to celebrate the defeat of the Nazis by the Allied forces, and everybody who stormed the beaches and jumped out of the skies and all the work they did. That's what we should be celebrating the entire month of June, not who you have sex with, but the fact that these brave men, so many who died to rid the world of the greatest evil of the 20th century. And it's just it infuriates me that barely gets a blip. Honestly, D-Day barely gets a blip. So I make sure every year I spend an hour of the show remembering, talking about it. And this is a particularly special D-Day because our buddy, Dr. Victoria Coates, earlier today, Chip Roy read a letter from her grandfather. He was at Normandy. And he wrote this letter to his wife, her grandmother, when he was in France. And let's just say I had a little bit of an allergy attack the first time I heard it. And I think Chip Roy had a little bit of an allergy attack, too. So, but we got a lot to chat about. We're going to talk about Elon Musk and Trump, obviously, where this goes from here. And it's just some of the meltdowns on the left right now. And this crazy woman whose kid was identifying as a dog or a cat, I think a cat, and now wants to be a human, and the mom can't handle it. And you just say to yourself, what's happening? What's going on in this world? It's craziness. Just a shameless plugs, if I could, tonight, Laura Ingraham, 7:50, Ingraham Angle on Fox News. Tomorrow night, Fox News Saturday Night with Jimmy Fallon at 10 p.m. So tune in for those. I would appreciate it very, very much. And thank you in advance for doing so. I'm also relaunching my podcast. You remember a few years ago, I had the Rich Zeoli podcast separate from the show. It relaunches this weekend. I'm going to do it as a weekend review. Why? Because I just have so much free time on my hands. Why not? So if you used to subscribe, you got to subscribe to the show. And now you got to subscribe to that. So you got some homework to do. But don't worry. I'll make it easy for you. All right? Good. So first of all, I hope you're having a great day. It is Friday. I'm not going to say Fry-yay like I said last week and regretted it instantly. If I was even on last Friday, I don't remember. But if I did and I said it then I'm sorry. I certainly did not mean it. This Elon Musk, Donald Trump thing, what can I tell you? These are two alpha male apex predators. This is not going to end anytime soon. It's ugly. It's like I said yesterday. guys bust chops, guys get into fights. And then usually guys kind of bro hug it out. But when you drop Pedo Island on your buddy, or like you accuse your buddy of cheating on his wife, or so, there are certain things you can't walk back. The friendship is ruined. They may work together again. They may work it out for the purposes of getting along to solve problems and fix things. But the friendship is destroyed. They're just, I remember the line from the Pearl Jam song, Nothing Man. Some words when spoken can't be taken back. Yeah, well, when Elon Musk accused the president of being in the Epstein files, and let's be very clear about this, if there was anything regarding Trump and Epstein, it would have came out a long time ago. It would have came out either in the 2016 election, during his presidency when they were trying to remove him from office, or it came out in this last election. There's no there. Yeah, he partied with Epstein. Everybody partied with Epstein back then. Yes, he flew on a plane with Epstein, not to Pedophile Island, but he flew on a plane with Epstein. Okay, lots of people did, and lots of people took money from Epstein. It doesn't mean that he participated in any of the disgusting illegal behavior and activities that Jeffrey Epstein did. But for Elon Musk to throw that out there, I'm sorry, but you throw that out there. First of all, you better be able to prove it, because if not, you got a massive defamation case on your hands. And you know Trump, he doesn't mind suing anybody. And there's no like, well, he's a public figure. You know, no. If you intentionally lie about somebody like that, then yeah, they can sue you for defamation. The other part of this too is that if they make up and they become buds, or at least they have a working relationship again, what does that say about Elon Musk? You just accused the guy of hanging out with a pedophile. You just accused the guy of being part of that pedophile operation. You let your son hang out with him. You let you one of your 13 kids, I forget which one, number 11, maybe number 10. I think he just calls them numbers like that. You know, hey, 7, come over here. Well, whatever the kid was, whichever kid it was going on Marine One with the president, flying around. So you let one of your 13 children hang out with the guy. So no, it's BS. Elon is clearly off his meds. I mean, let's face it, he's a little bit off his rocker to begin with. But that went way too far. In my opinion, that went way too far. And some idiot on X yesterday, and I'm not going to give him any promotion, was like, oh, you know, you MAGA people defending Trump and throwing Elon under the bus. No, I'm stating an observation about humanity. You can get in a fight with your friends. You can argue with your wife. There are certain things you can't say. There are certain lines you can't cross. You know that. I know that. There are things that irreparably destroy relationships. One of them is accusing your buddy, your one-time friend, who you said you loved more than any straight man is capable of loving another man, of palling around with a pedophile and going to Pedophile Island or whatever is alleging, because that's what he's saying, basically. That's what he's alleging when he says the Epstein files. And it's pathetic. It really is. It's pathetic. So where this goes from here, I have no idea. I don't know, but I don't think it can't ever be the same after that. No doubt about that. Guys have this amazing ability to forgive each other. I mean, most guys who tend to get into battles, hey, like as friends go, as far as if you have like a big fight, it gets over pretty quickly. But not if you publicly accuse your buddy of doing something that is so outrageously awful. Like, no, that's it. The friendship's over. If we have to do business together, we may have to do business together. But, you know, that's it. As far as friendships go, that friendship is done. Now, the president is going to leave the White House soon. I don't know if he's going to speak to the reporters on the South Lawn as he gets ready to get on Marine One to depart to New Jersey, spend the weekend in Jersey. It's election weekend. Early voting is over, wraps up. I forget. I don't know. Whatever. Look it up. But then Tuesday is primary day in New Jersey. And then we'll move on to the general election. And then we have to take back the state. His royal rugness, King Philip the Unaccountable, this idiot, tweeted out yesterday that he's giving everybody $100 relief. What's about to be your soaring electric bills. And these things are going to soar 22-25% increases. Businesses, he's going to give everybody $100. But it's not his money, even though he's got it. He's a billionaire and he's got a palatial estate in Italy. And but it's your money. He's going to take your money and give it back to you in the form of some little relief, peasants. And it's a joke. As I said yesterday, the guy sets your house on fire and then he throws you a bucket of water and then he turns around and goes, hey, you got to pay for the water. You got to pay for the bucket. Give me a break, please. I don't want to hear about it. But I'll tell you the other thing, too, that really frustrates me about all this is that whatever happens, we are going to have to deal with crazy people in our midst for a long, long time. And, you know, the more these people go on social media and expose themselves, the better. Like this woman whose son identified as a cat, and now she's mad because the kid wants to be a person again. It's just crazy. I also have this thing for you about TMZ documentary. We were talking about this yesterday when I was at Fox News. I think I mentioned that. And we're talking about this. It's like TMZ is coming out now with conspiracy theories around 9/11. I mean, I don't know. The world's insane. That's all I know. The world is freaking nuts. But the good news is that we're not taking your eye off the ball when it comes to Biden and the fact that he was senile and they covered it up. So James Comer and his committee, they have subpoenaed Biden's physician. They have subpoenaed a number of people who are around Biden in the West Wing. Biden's office put out a statement saying, of course, the president knew everything that was going on. Well, I would expect them to say that. It doesn't make it true. And all you need is one brave whistleblower to come forward and say, yeah, we did not know if we had the president's authority to do X. And then there you go. Then you can really hold Biden accountable for that. I personally don't believe he knew what was going on. I don't believe that. I don't believe that for a second, because he told Mike Johnson, the Speaker of the House, he said he didn't know about the liquid natural gas export ban. And everybody chalked it up to, it's just Biden's having a bad day. He wasn't having a bad day. He literally didn't know about it because they didn't tell him about it, because it was such a politically stupid thing to do in an election year. You got to win Pennsylvania. Such a politically stupid, stupid thing to do. But I'll tell you one thing, it's funny, is the way that Democrats are now, they love Elon Musk again. Just like that, overnight, because of this feud. They love him. They're taking their Tesla stickers off. They were putting stickers on Teslas. I bought this car before Elon lost his mind, or whatever the sticker is. Well, now they're taking their stickers off. And of course, the corporate legacy media is doing what they do, which is to turn around and say, oh yeah, Elon's great. We love him. So glad he's back in the fold now. I think the reality of the situation is that Elon Musk could have handled this in a much different way. He's not happy about the bill. I get it. I really do. I understand that. A lot of people are not happy about the bill. But Elon's smart enough to know that the president is limited in his power here when it comes to a spending bill. It's on Congress. What Elon should have done was put his ire towards Republicans in the House, who are the ones putting all the pork in the bill. That's what he should have done. White House came out and said, you know, Elon has his objections to the bill. We get it, but this bill has to pass. We got to get this done. But if Elon's really angry and upset with all the pork in the bill, and I get it, I understand, I'm angry too, then go after congressmen. Go after senators. Go after those people, because they're the ones writing the bill and they're the ones voting on the bill. Use your resources to shame them, not the president. He can't write a bill. The president can't write a bill. The president can't appropriate money. The president can't have the Senate and the House come to an agreement on a spending package. All he can do is decide whether or not he wants to sign it into law. And he's calculated that if he doesn't, it's going to cause so much economic calamity, because the Trump tax cuts will go away, that even though there's all this spending that's in the bill, it still has to be done. But he's also said, the Senate, work it out, figure it out. He's been saying that, too. He's not like, I need this bill on my desk by Monday or I'm going to veto it. He hasn't set a firm deadline. He said he'd like to get it signed by the 4th of July. Well, the 4th of July is not for a month. So what Elon should have done was taken his ire out on them. And when the president said, you know, Elon was wearing his welcome here a little thin, it's because Elon was trying to stir things up to remain relevant. He leaves the White House, and then, like a lot of people that leave the White House, they then crave the fact that they were in the room. They were in the room with the president of the United States of America. It's a very special place to be, and not a lot of people get to experience that. To be giving the president of the United States your opinion on something. It's a very, very small, elite group of people. And when you have that, and then you don't, the people that don't sometimes can't handle that. and they lose their freaking minds and they go crazy. And Anthony Scarmucci is a great example of that. The Mooch guy lasted 11 days. He has not stopped trashing Trump since he left the White House. He was his buddy. He was his friend. Has not stopped trashing Trump. To this day, he's still out there trashing Trump. Steve Bannon and the president got into a big dust-up when the president fired him, called him Sloppy Steve. But Bannon was smart enough to realize, yeah, you know, Trump gets mad sometimes, but I can be back in the room if I play my cards right. And he did. And he even went to jail for the president. But other people who left the administration, not so much. Other people who were Republicans, not so much. You remember the other press secretary, the one with the crazy eyes? She had crazy eyes. I saw those crazy eyes in person in the Oval Office. Stephanie Grisham. And then she started to trash Trump. And she wrote a book that no one read, Trashing Trump. There's an industry for it. All you have to do, it's like if tomorrow I wanted to get rich and famous, even though one could argue I'm famous now, but clearly not rich, trust me, I could just turn on Trump. It's not that hard. All I have to do is just turn on him. Chris Christie. There's a long list of people. But I'm not going to do that. A, because I'm loyal. B, because I then if you really feel this way about the guy, how did you remain around him for 5 minutes? See, that's what I can't figure out about these people. And it's what really bothers me about this. You hate this guy so much. He's so horrible. How were you able to tolerate him for 5 minutes? Because if you were around him for years and you had his confidence and you were part of the inner circle, you're not trashing a guy like that unless it's for your own self-interest, unless it's for your own personal gain, either financial gain or political gain or whatever gain it is. That's it. Bottom line. I mean, I could have got all butthurt that I wasn't named press secretary and started trashing Trump. First of all, I was never going to be press secretary. He was always going to hire Caroline. I get it. I'm glad he did. It was a wise choice. I was advocating for Caroline Leavitt the entire time on social media. I told you I was never going to get the gig. He needs a woman out there. He does. It's important to have the face of, well, I think it's a really smart strategy. And some of the best press secretaries have been women. Some of them, like Dana Perino, whose show I will be on Monday morning. God, this is getting painful, isn't it? I mean, I'm realizing how painful this sounds, that I'm going to be on Laura Ingraham tonight and Fox News Saturday night, tomorrow night, and then Fox News, America's Newsroom Monday morning, and then America Reports. It's nauseating for me to hear myself say it. So I can only imagine how nauseating it is for you to hear it. My point is, it's good for the president to have the face of a woman out there. I think it's very helpful. I really do. And I think she's really smart and really well-liked. But I could have at any point decided, hey, let me join the people who once worked on Trump's campaign and write a book and trash him and get a big TV show on MSNBC so that 18 people can watch it. And it's not the kind of guy I am, number one. But number two, I'd have to question my own judgment. How is it that I was so blind? All these people who trash Trump, who have spent real time with him. I don't mean like these idiots who've never met the guy, but I mean people that have spent time with him. Don't you have to question their judgment that they were not able to see it sooner? Like, I understand the guy who's married to a woman who's like a, you know, total floozy, or a woman who's married to a guy is a total, you know, mimbo. And he was able to pull a con job on her and or him, whatever. And, you know, it's like, oh, my God, I didn't see it. Everybody else saw it, but I didn't see it. Like, that happens. But you know who Trump is. He wasn't this guy who was in the quiet of life. He was one of the most public, well-known people in the history of humanity. You joined his campaign. You joined the White House. You joined the inner circle. And then you're surprised to find out all these things about him. No, you're not. It's just that when he decided that you were not as smart or as talented or as useful as you thought you were, you got upset. And then you decided that you were going to have a temper tantrum and see if you could parlay that into relevancy. That's what these people do. I get a book deal. I get a TV show. I get to run for president. Whatever it is. Thing is, people see through it. People see through the phoniness of it. And I have no use for phonies. I can't tolerate phonies. I literally have no tolerance for it. There are certain things in life I have no tolerance for. I have no tolerance for traffic, none whatsoever. Really, I don't. It comes from my father, Papa Zioli. And we'd be driving down the Jersey Shore in the summer. We would be stuck in traffic on the Garden State Parkway back when they had toll booths back then, you remember? and you have to throw that stupid token in the basket. They had tokens back then. And my dad would get so angry at the traffic, he would literally say this, and this is a quote from Papa Zioli, and if you don't like it, take it up with him. We'd all be in the way back of the station wagon. Remember back then you could do that? You could stay in the way back, and then you'd wave the cars behind you and stuff, and that was somehow legal. Maybe it wasn't legal, I don't know, but nobody cared. Before kids had to be strapped into a car seat till they were 15 years old. So you go in the way back of the station wagon, driving down the parkway, headed to the Jersey Shore. So all this traffic. My dad would say, somebody better be dead up there. No, I'm not kidding. He would literally say that. And Mama Zioli would go, don't say that in front of the kids. Don't say that in front of the kids, Tony. And I'd listen to this in the back of the car, but kind of agreeing with him. Like, if there's this much traffic, somebody better be dead up there. But the point is, I also have no tolerance for people who are so full of it that you can smell them a mile away. And I have no use for these people who decided that they were going to be BFFs with Donald Trump, and they loved him, and they wanted to be his chief of staff, and they tweet out things about how amazing he is. And then all of a sudden, they're like, I had no idea. I just saw the guy. I just realized who he was. Shut up. You're a phony. You're a fraud. Fact is, he didn't want you. You got rejected, and you went bunny on the stove. That's what you did. You went bunny on the stove. Never go bunny on the stove. You know what I'm talking about? Fatal Attraction. It's one of the greatest scenes in movie history, in my opinion. I would say the line from Tropic Thunder, never go full blank, but I'm not going to say that because I don't think I can on the radio. And also, it's a little offensive to people, but you know that line. It's a very funny line. But you never go bunny on the stove. And all these people have. It's crazy, isn't it? And you think either you have the worst judgment ever or the entire time was a con. It was a con job, the whole thing. And I really believe to this day that if Chris Christie had been named chief of staff and had survived long enough, he never would have turned on Trump. If Elon had been asked to stay, he wouldn't have turned on Trump. If the mooch had made it longer than 11 days, if Nicole Wallace had gotten a job, if that fraud Rick Wilson had gotten a job. You know, a lot of these never-Trumpers, they wanted jobs on the Trump campaign in 2015, 2016. Nobody wanted them. Nobody wanted to hire them. So they found there was a market for this never-Trump thing, and that's what they wound up doing. So they did that. And they made a lot of money doing it. But they're frauds. It's like a guy who sits here and pretends to be a conservative talk radio host and then endorses Barack Obama. Like, stop. This is your self-serving self-interest. And I have no problem. You want to do something self-serving and to try to make money and cash in? Fine. But don't act like I'm an idiot. Don't act like you've had some conversion. You didn't have a conversion. The only conversion you had is you looked at the marketplace and decided, if I do this, I'll reap these rewards. Period. That's it. And for Elon Musk, he loved the fact that he would be able to speak at cabinet meetings and he'd speak in the Oval Office. And despite all his money and all his success, he probably, like every other person on the earth, has some insecurities. And the fact is that when they gave him the gold key and they were like, move on now, Elon, he couldn't handle that. And he went bunny on the stove. Period. Full stop, bunny on the stove. Chris Christie didn't get chief of staff, bunny on the stove. The mooch, 11 days, you're out, bunny on the stove. Stephanie Grisham, crazy eyes, well, she was going to do a bunny on the stove regardless. Either way, there was a bunny waiting to be put on that stove, if you know what I mean. You looked at those eyes like I did in the Oval Office, trust me, you'd have the exact same assessment. All right, we got a big show for you today. A lot coming up. Our buddy Dr. Victoria Coates is here. Wait till you hear what Chip Roy, the letter he read on the floor of the House about her grandfather, who was part of Operation Overlord, the liberation of occupied France on this day, 81 years ago, June 6, 1944. We'll be right back.
The Rich Zioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
Here on D-Day, we will spend a lot of time today talking about Operation Overlord. I do that every year. A couple years ago, I went to New Orleans with a couple of buddies of mine, and we went to the World War II Museum. If you've never been, I highly recommend it. It's an incredible experience. My only regret is that we only spent a day there, because you could spend – I mean, you could spend a week. You could spend several days there, but I wish we had had more than one day. It was that amazing, that fascinating. And they have an entire part of the museum dedicated to D-Day. As you can imagine, it was a really incredible, incredible museum. They did a great job with that, the World War II Museum. But two World War II veterans from South Philly, of course, part of Band of Brothers, Wild Bill and Babe Heffron, both depicted in the television miniseries Band of Brothers, will be they were meant to be cast together. And then they wanted to do a sculpture of them. But then when they wound up doing the sculpture, I guess they're not officially together in the sculpture. I want to go and see that. But these guys from Philly, and you know, they're famous because of that show. Band of Brothers was fantastic. If you haven't seen it, but they fought from D-Day to the end of the war. They died age 90 within 4 months of each other. Both lived long enough to be puzzled by their fame when the Band of Brothers miniseries was broadcast in 2001. That's something. Wild Bill's family was against having a statue for him. See, that's the thing about these guys. That's really the thing about these guys. They were quiet heroes. They weren't looking for attention. They came back from the war and they went on and lived their lives. You know, and they went and lived their lives. That's what they did. You got to read the book D-Day by Stephen Ambrose. If you haven't, you got to read that book. It's fantastic. And the bottom line is this. For all the incredible operation of Operation Overlord. Here, I want to read this one part for you. See, I'm actually in my home studio today. I have to go back into Philly, though. It was kind of complicated. I was in New York yesterday. I did Jimmy's radio show, and then I was going to go on Ingram Engel, but they moved it over to today. And then we did Jimmy's the show. We taped it yesterday, so pretend like it's live on Saturday. But anyway, I had time to kill yesterday. But then today, I didn't think I was doing the hit. I didn't hear anything from them, and I said, "Okay, that's fine. That's totally cool." So I went and got burgers and dogs. We were going to do a big barbecue. And then at 1:50, I got a text from them saying, "Hit's confirmed tonight for 7:50. Are you in New York still?" And I said, "No, but that's okay. They have a studio in Philly, so I'm going to go do that." But I didn't have time to get to our studio in Philly to make the show. So anyway, I'm going to do that after this show. But I wanted to just share this with you because this is really important here. And this book, which my buddy Santo gave me, our buddy, part of the Zeoli Army. Don't forget, we're going to be storming the beaches of Cape May on June 20th for our next live show at the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. Some quotes from D-Day. Dwight Eisenhower, good luck. And let us all beseech the blessing of Almighty God upon this great and noble undertaking. Winston Churchill, the most difficult and complicated operation ever to take place. Adolf Hitler, the destruction of the enemy's landing is the sole decisive factor in the whole conduct of the war and hence in its final results. The Führer realized that if they were successful, the war would be over. Ernie Pyle, in this column I want to tell you what the opening of the second front entailed so that you can know and appreciate and forever be humbly grateful to those both dead and alive who did it for you. I wrote that on June 12, 1944. So the book is fantastic, but I just want to share this one part for you. So I think it's really important. And I'll get into it a little bit later in the show, a little more detail, but I just want to say this, all right? For all that the American industrial brawn and organizational ability could do, for all that the British and Canadians and other allies could contribute, for all the planes and preparations, for all the brilliance of the deception scheme, for all the inspired leadership, in the end, success or failure in Operation Overlord came down to a relatively small number of junior officers, non-coms, and privates or seamen in the American, British, and Canadian armies, navies, air forces, and coast guards. If the paratroopers and glider-borne troops cowered behind the hedges or hid out in the barns rather than actively seek out the enemy, if the coxswains did not drive their landing craft ashore, but instead, out of fear of enemy fire, dropped the ramps in too deep water, if the men at the beaches dug in behind the seawall, if the non-coms and junior officers failed to lead their men up and over the seawall to move inland in the face of enemy fire, why then the most thoroughly planned offensive in military history, an offensive supported by incredible amounts of naval firepower, bombs, and rockets would fail. In one night and day, 175,000 fighting men and their equipment, including 50,000 vehicles of all types, ranging from motorcycles to tanks and armored bulldozers, were transported across 60 to 100 miles of open water and landed on a hostile shore against intense opposition. They were either carried by or supported by 5,333 ships and craft of all type and almost 11,000 airplanes. The effort was so extensive, it was as if the cities of Green Bay, Racine, and Kenosha, Wisconsin were picked up and moved. Every man, woman, and child, every automobile and truck to the east side of Lake Michigan in one night. But for all of that, it all came down to a bunch of 18 to 28-year-olds. They were magnificently trained and equipped and supported, but only a few of them had ever been in combat. Only a few had ever killed or seen a buddy killed. Most were like Den Brotheridge and Bob Mathias. They had never heard a shot fired in anger. They were citizen soldiers, not professionals. It was an open question toward the end of spring of 1944 as to whether a democracy could produce young soldiers capable of fighting effectively against the best that Nazi Germany could produce. Hitler was certain the answer was no. Nothing that he had learned of the British Army's performance in France or in Africa or in North Africa or the Mediterranean caused him to doubt that. On anything approaching equality in numbers, Hitler was convinced they would prevail. Totalitarian fanaticism and discipline would always conquer democratic liberalism and softness. Of that, Hitler was sure. If Hitler had seen guys like Den Brotheridge and Bob Mathias in action at the beginning of D-Day, these were paratroopers. These were the first guys in. He might have had second thoughts. It is Brotheridge and Mathias and their buddies, the young men born into the false prosperity of the 1920s and brought up in the bitter realities of the depression of the 1930s that this book is about. The literature they read as youngsters was anti-war, cynical, betraying patriots as suckers, slackers as heroes. None of them wanted to be part of another war. They wanted to be throwing baseballs, not hand grenades, shooting 22s at rabbits, not M1s at other young men. But when the test came, when freedom had to be fought for or abandoned, they fought. They were soldiers of democracy. They were the men of D-Day, and to them we owe our freedom. So well said. Gives me chills. No doubt about that. Gives me chills. And let me play a clip for you as we go on the show here today. And we're going to kind of weave in and out, but then I'm going to spend the last hour just totally talking about this. But I'm going to play this for you. There's a lot I want to share, a lot of good stuff. But the Defense Secretary, Pete Hegseth, in Normandy today, in France, for the dedication of this. Later in the show, I'll play a clip of President Trump when he was in Normandy back in 2019. But I want to play this for you. This is cut number one. Before I play it, though, let me just set the stage. So they called it Fortress Europe. It was the idea that it was impenetrable. And Hitler believed that. Now, Hitler made a lot of very strategic mistakes in World War II. He obviously, the invasion of the Soviet Union was a disaster, cost him millions of men. And he had devoted so much to the Western flank dealing with the Soviets, and he realized that the Eastern flank was open, and then he had to move all his forces over there because he knew that an invasion was going to come. And he was spread too thin, far too thin, but he was still convinced that they could never succeed in invading Europe, that they could never succeed in that. And they were smart. 2 years of planning, they convinced him the attack would come from a different part of where it actually came from. But ultimately, they came down to the courage of these young men. Bottom line, came down to these young men. Their bravery, their heroism, or the entire operation would have been a failure. And it would have been a failure within hours. That's the thing. It would have been over very quickly. But Fortress Europe, man, that's what they thought. They thought that Hitler thought it could not be penetrated, that they had done such a great job of taking the entire European continent and sealing it off to the Allies, that an invasion would be foolish and that they would either fail or that they just wouldn't ever bother trying. Pete Hegseth addressed that point today in Normandy, cut number one.
81 years ago, Hitler thought his Atlantic Wall was impenetrable. Many agreed. He clearly had not met enough Americans. A more daring assault had never been planned. The task was daunting, a frontal assault across the channel on beaches and cliffs strewn with obstacles and defended by heavily fortified bunkers. Our only advantage was that the enemy underestimated the strength of the Allied war cause. The invasion would include brave troops from the U.S., Great Britain, Canada, France, Australia, New Zealand, South Africa, Belgium, Norway, Poland, Greece, and Holland. On the ground, the French resistance covertly aided the effort. And as the troops loaded into their ships, planes, and landing craft, they received copies of an order from General Eisenhower, reminding them of the stakes of their mission. And I have a copy right here.
Actually, let's stop it right there, because I have General Eisenhower, the recording of him saying that mission. This is his D-Day message. I'll play that when we come back. It's also the big story of the day, brought to you by Dr. Mike Venaria, VanariaDental.com, V-A-N-A-R-I-A, Venaria Dental, with two locations to serve you in Cinnaminson and Woodbury. 20 years after D-Day, Dwight Eisenhower did an interview with Walter Cronkite in Normandy. And while he was there, he was observing that there were people sailing. There were people on the beach. He observed that and he kept thinking to himself, thank God they're able to do this. Thank God they're able to do this. But it was only 20 years after D-Day. You know, we talk about Your Beach Day is brought to you by Their Beach Day. And we show those memes of them storming the beaches of Normandy. But the thing about it is that 20 years after, this is how quickly time flies by. 20 years later, there's Dwight Eisenhower sitting down with Cronkite in Normandy on the beach, looking out as people are literally enjoying the beach and sailing and doing all the things that we do at the beach, and thinking, thank God. Thank God they're able to do that. But also you can hear a sadness in him as he talks about it, because he knows the sacrifices that were made in order for those people to be out there enjoying that beach, that same beach recreationally, 20 years later. Amazing stuff. There's breaking news. Abrego Garcia is heading to the United States of America to face charges. That's a development we'll talk about this afternoon. And his royal ruggedness, King Philip the Unaccountable, this idiot, he is going to give you $100 to help with your utility bills. Not his money, your money. So thanks a lot. Thanks for nothing. He caused this crisis. Now he wants to give you a little pittance. Try to help with it as your energy rates are about to soar everywhere across the Garden State. But speaking of the Garden State, look, we're going to be there on Friday, June 20th. It is our first live show of the summer at my happy place, the Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey. And I would love for you to join us for that show, because it's going to be a blast. We're going to have a lot of fun, and I really want you to come. So please do that. All right. Mark your calendar for it. The show is free. You don't need a ticket. Just come on by. We'll be on the fifth floor ballroom of the Grand Hotel. But I want you to think about summer vacation. And why should you pick the Grand Hotel? Well, number one, you should pick the Grand Hotel because it's absolutely beautiful and you get resort credits to use. They have a gorgeous outdoor, huge heated pool. They have a beautiful indoor heated saltwater pool, restaurant right on site. It's right on the beach, and Cape May is absolutely gorgeous. And I wanted to share this with you as well, because my buddy Caitlin, who's the person to talk to you, if you want to plan an event, you reach out to Caitlin. The Grand Hotel of Cape May, New Jersey, was recently named, this is amazing here, Best Weddings, the perfect place for your perfect wedding, set against the Cape May soft sands and the rhythmic Atlantic surf. Grand Hotel, Caitlin, certified professional wedding planner. This is the place to go. Excited to announce that the 2025 South Jersey Face of Weddings is our very own Caitlin. Part of the Grand family for over 15 years and as a certified professional wedding planner, she can make sure your special day is grand. And not just weddings, but also corporate events, baby showers, bridal showers, family reunions, you name it, they can plan it for you at the Grand Hotel. So I'll see you June 20th for our first live show as we get to enjoy the beach. And we'll talk about the history of Cape May during World War II, because the Grand Hotel has a lookout tower attached to the building from World War II. It's painted blue. Next time you go, you'll see it. You'll notice it. You can't miss it. But there's real cool history there around World War II as well. So GrandHotelCapeMay.com. Always book direct with them for the best rates. GrandHotelCapeMay.com.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports, other days it's cooking or music, or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going, whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit Amazon.com/Prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. Amazon.com/Prime.
The mayor of Boston, Michelle Wu, is comparing ICE officers to neo-Nazis for wearing masks. There's an Oregon middle school hosting a drag day event to encourage students to cross-dress. Mm-hmm. That's what's happening. On Monday, wear as many colors as you can. On Tuesday, wear all black in remembrance of lost LGBTQIA plus members. Wednesday, dress like a drag queen, king, or monarch. Oh, that's good. We're celebrating monarchs and kings and queens. Great. Thursday, dress up as your favorite queer hero. Friday, dress up as the pride flag. That's a school in Oregon. You know what? I'm telling you, man, it makes me so angry that every June we go through this nonsense and we act like D-Day didn't happen. We celebrating all this craziness. It's ridiculous. All right. I got a lot to get to with you. So we're going to talk about a bunch of stuff. But on that note of the mayor of Boston, Michelle Wu. These are the topics I'm going to be talking about tonight on Laura Ingraham. Tonight at 7:50, if you want to tune in on the Fox News channel. Sorry, it's getting shameless plugs. We have the mayor of Boston. Where is that, Matt? What cut number is that?
It's cut 28.
Cut 28. Here is, this is the DHS responding to what she said here. This has the clip in it as well. Okay, good. All right, cut 28.
I don't know of any police department that routinely wears masks. We know that there are other groups that routinely wear masks. NSC-131 routinely wears masks.
Mayor, just to clarify, are you comparing ICE, you said, to NSC-131, the neo-Nazi group? Are you comparing them to a neo-Nazi group?
What I said is that Boston police and no police department that I know of at the local level routinely wears masks.
Yeah. What they should do is just say that they're worried about getting COVID. That's what all these cops should do. Just say they're worried about getting COVID. And then all these lefty mayors would be like, oh, well, then in that case, in fact, we should mandate it. Such frauds, these people. There's if a cop wears a mask or something like that, it doesn't change anything. It doesn't change the outcome of the situation. It doesn't change the due process. Nothing. You know, I'm a big believer in body cams. I've long advocated for them because they help keep the public safe. They keep the cops safe from frivolous, from nonsense. They're good. I think everybody wins. I know they're heavy, and I know some cops don't like wearing them, but I still think it's better for everybody because it's all on video. It's all there. It's on the record. But whether a cop has his face shown or not, and the reason why these ICE agents are doing that is because they're being doxxed. And if you're dealing with gang members, well, cartels like to kill people. There was a movie years ago that was made. Jake Gyllenhaal played a cop, and the cartels wound up killing him and his partner. I forget the name of the movie, but it's pretty good. Just thought of it. But it doesn't change the outcome. It doesn't change the fact that if a person gets arrested and they're entitled to due process, they still get due process. That's the thing these people are missing with all of this. But if a cop didn't wear a mask during COVID, well, then the left wanted that cop fired. They didn't have any due process concerns back then. Did you notice that? None whatsoever. So you had to have police officers walk around in the hot summer heat wearing a mask on. And if they didn't have their mask on, some lefty would run up to them and go, put your mask on. What do you think? You're above the law because you're a cop? None of them had a problem with that back then. The only problem they had was if they didn't wear the mask. Big 4 o'clock hour straight ahead. Don't go away.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Going up.
Prices keep going up these days. It feels like being on an elevator that only goes up.
Going up.
But not at Metro. We're pushing the down button.
Going down.
We've lowered prices. Get one line of 5G data for $40, period. That's 20% lower. And you get a free Samsung 5G phone when you bring your number. Only at Metro.
5-year guarantee on eligible plans. Exclusions apply. See website for details. Not available at Metro with T-Mobile in the past 6 months. Tax applies.
You know, there are a lot of passions. Some days it's sports. Other days it's cooking or music. Or just diving into a great documentary. The thing is, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. Amazon Prime isn't just about fast delivery. Though getting stuff the same day is pretty great. But it turns out it's so much more. Prime Video, Amazon Music, the whole range of services. It's like a hub for all kinds of curiosity. Prime helps people stay connected to what matters and keeps the journey of exploration going. Whether it's watching something inspiring, listening to a new artist, or getting gear delivered fast to chase a new hobby. Prime makes it easier to dive in. So yeah, whatever you're into, it's on Prime. From streaming to shopping, it's on Prime. Visit amazon.com/prime to get more out of whatever sparks interest. amazon.com/prime.